Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
So it is a joy to be here today, and I always enjoy coming back to Alabama to fellowship and all since I've moved to Florida. So it's wonderful to be back. And it was a blessing this morning. Usually I fuss about driving in the rain, but it was such a great blessing this morning to actually see rain, to feel rain, and to be in it. That it was, I was praising God all the way here because it's been so long since we've had rain there that everything's just dust. You walk and it's dusty, you know, which reminds me a lot about when we look at this country. It seems to have kind of turned towards that dusty roads. So it's a blessing always to see rain, and it's always a blessing to be among God's people, because sometimes we get discouraged when we look around at the world that we work in, that we live in, and it seems like that, you know, there's a lot of unbelief. That's not saying there's not a lot of God's children, but a lot of unbelief, and that unbelief there can go a long ways with that. But it's wonderful that we can look. So just continue to pray for me as we do try to look this morning at some things of the Lord about that. And we're going to use 2 Timothy in chapter 2. And I mostly want to look at verse 13, but you actually have to get the context of this so that we can understand what he's talking about. You can't just go in and just pull something out and make it say what we want it to. Right. We have to be able to understand what Paul's talking about with Timothy. And mostly here he's talking about him being in bonds and the gospel's not bound. That, you know, it's so. And he's talking about the faithful servants. But let's look at verse 8. And he says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." So he's saying, I'm preaching that Christ was raised from the dead. That's what Paul preaches. That's the gospel I'm preaching. Christ died for our sins, but he was risen again. He had to be risen again to be the Savior. And so he says, "Wherein I suffer trouble." So he's saying, I'm troubled because of that. "As an evildoer." So he's saying, I'm preaching good, but all the people around me is telling me I'm evil. And I'm doing evil, and they've imprisoned him for it. "Even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound," which gives me great, great relief and a great satisfaction in God that he does not depend upon a man to preach the gospel to save his people to him. The word of God is not bound there. That means if he put all the preachers in jail, God's not going to stop calling his people. He doesn't depend upon us to call his people. He depends upon the Holy Spirit. Right. So the gospel's not bound. And he says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And he said, I don't mind. He said, I don't mind being called an evildoer. I don't mind going to prison for the elect's sake. What a world we live in if everyone had that attitude. If we had the attitude, I don't mind suffering some inconvenience for the elect's sake. Right. And what a blessing it is among the whole Baptist that we have that. We do have that still. That we don't mind suffering for the elect's sake. But he says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." It's what we believe. We're dead with Christ. We're going to live with Christ. "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." And you have to be careful with that, because a lot of people take that and say that, you know, during the final judgment, if we've denied Christ in this world, he'll deny us. Wrong. Right. Paul addresses that here in verse 13. He says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." Mm-hmm. So if we believe not, That encompasses a lot, but we want to stay focused on what the believing not here is. Is Paul's pretty much saying that he's preaching that Christ was resurrected from the dead, and he's being called an evildoer for that because a lot of the people in this time didn't believe in the resurrection there, mm-hmm. and they didn't believe that Christ was the Savior. You know, so that's really important. And he says, if we believe not, you know what that does? That takes it all out of our hands mm-hmm. and leaves it in God's hands.
Right.
Because how many times have we believed not? How many times have we doubted? I doubt every day. Mm-hmm. I've been doubting a lot this week. I've been planning on coming here. I've been watching the Gulf. We've had that storm coming. And I'm like, well, am I going to go or am I going to stay here? Well, guess what? I was doubting. I was not believing that God would continue to do that. That's my doubts. Well, look at what it is. God knows what's happening. Now, I mean, I'm not saying if there's something major going to happen, you know, don't do that. But we doubt a lot.
Right.
How many times do we doubt that we're called to preach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many times do we doubt that we're children of God? Because we're like Paul. We do the things we don't want to do. We don't do the things we want to do. We're mixed up. And sometimes we don't believe like we should.
Amen.
But it says that Christ abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. So, do you know how much is encompassed in that he cannot deny himself? Well, you just covered the doctrine of election, because if you can't deny himself, you have to be placed in him.
Right.
You have to be a part of him. If you're not a part of him, then he can deny. So we have to be a part of him. And if he can't deny himself, then that means he cannot deny anyone that he died for.
Right.
Because what was the proclamation that was made in the first Matthew 1:21? You shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins.
Right.
He shall. So can a child of God sin enough to not be saved? No, we cannot. And Christ cannot deny one of his, because he says that the Father gave him. He came here not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. And the will of him was that he was going to go and he was going to bear the sins. He was going to bear our sins. And he was going to stand in our place. And so, when he stood in our place, we were... And another thing you have to look at too, though, about the gospel here that he's talking about, we were sealed in Christ before the first gospel was preached in this world, because we were in him before the foundation of the world. So therefore it's not. But now the gospel has a place. It has a purpose. But it's not to save people eternally to God. It is to bring to light what God has already done within.
Amen. Amen.
And it's to bring it to light. You know, I think about it sometimes and I'm like, you know, I feel so confused. I read the things of God. I know the things of God. I want to seek the things of God. But I have this nature with me and I want to, you know, I have to overcome it. What about someone that has the Spirit in them that doesn't have the gospel? Well, that's got to be really confusing, don't it? So the gospel has a purpose. It is to teach us to be disciples.
Mm-hmm.
It is to teach us how to live the life that Christ has laid out for us to live. And it's to teach us what God has fully done for us.
Right.
Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we could have all the knowledge? You know, when Paul talks in Corinthians about charity, he talks about if I had all knowledge and all faith. Why? If we had a full understanding. But if we had all knowledge, you know, you have to think about it. What would we actually ask God? Or what would we want to know? The main thing I want to know is, why me?
Yeah.
Why me?
Yeah.
Why would you pick me? So it's wonderful that when He picks us, even in all of our faults, He won't deny himself.
Right.
He won't say, no, you just wasn't good enough. He says, none of you were good enough.
Right.
And I made you good enough.
Right.
So if Christ has made us good enough, how could one fall away from it? Because then there would be something that's more powerful than the blood of Christ. And there's nothing ever more powerful than that blood.
Right.
That blood is the most powerful thing that we have ever will know. Because it was so powerful that when the covenant was made before creation, God knew that man could not stay in the where He had placed him in the garden. He knew he couldn't. I don't think he looked through time and think, well, this one done that. He knew, though. He's God. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows all things. And we don't have enough time to get into all of that. But He had already placed His elect in Christ. And when Christ came and died, His blood was so powerful that it actually went back to the beginning of time, and it also went to the end of time. And it's still here today now. That blood still works for us today. Why? Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, continuously making intercession for us. That's why He won't deny us.
Right.
What happens when we turn away from the things of God? We serve a holy and mighty God. He requires a way of life from people. He requires us to live away. And Christ is like, I pay for those sins.
Right.
I've been judged for that.
Right.
They've already been judged. So you understand here, though, is He won't deny Himself. But now there is a difference in us being chastened as children and judged as condemned. We'll never know what it feels like to be judged as condemned.
Right.
We will be chastened. We are chastened. We're children of God. We have to be chastened. If we're not chastened, then we're basically, what do we call them? Bunch of spoiled brats. So it's a wonderful thing to me to look at this and say, you know, even in my unbelief, and if I don't believe, if I believe Him not, He abideth faithful and He cannot deny Himself. That is wonderful to me. That Christ will not deny one of His.
Right.
And He does continuously. It amazes me every day when I think about the past that I've had, the things that I have. You know, it would be a wonderful thing if we could just control completely our minds, our thoughts. I'm in complete control over them. And it's a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. And we all want to be better. But sometimes we still have that flesh that doubts. And so it's a wonderful thing too when we see the ones that have finished. But it's wonderful. You know, we're sad because we miss them. But it's such a joy when we see them enter into what they've all been looking for all of their life,
right.
Their days. They're fishing the cross and they're fishing to actually have the full understanding. But we still, even in our shortcomings, we're still called by God when we have that knowledge and when we've heard the gospel. We have been called, as Paul tells us in Romans 12, that we are to, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What is that living sacrifice? I mean, you hear that a lot of times from us, but what does that look like? Well, look around today. We made some sacrifices, didn't we? We had to make a sacrifice to come here today, to this church, to worship our God.
Mm-hmm.
We're presenting ourselves to God today as a sacrifice. We're saying, Lord, I'm putting off the things that my flesh wants to do. I'm sacrificing to come and to worship You. We're presenting our bodies. That living sacrifice. And it has to be holy and acceptable.
Right.
So how do we become holy and acceptable? In Christ.
Amen.
In Christ. There's nothing you can do to become holy or acceptable.
Right.
So Christ has done the heavy lifting. He's done the hard work. And He tells us, hey, it's a reasonable service. It's a reasonable service. Why is it reasonable? Because I didn't have to make myself holy because I couldn't. I have too much sin with me to become holy. And I can't make myself acceptable. So Christ has done all of the hard work for us. And He says that He's not going to deny us. But look at this also. He says that if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. And we're going to suffer. If you don't think you'll suffer for the sake of the gospel, you are wrong.
Right.
And that's why I love the example that we have of Paul. I don't think it was by accident that God called Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus. We would have considered him one of the most evil men that has ever lived and breathed in this world. We'd have thought he was the worst of the worst. God called him and took him and turned him, and now we consider him a hero. Mm-hmm. We consider him the great, one of the great apostles. And he is, by right, he is, because he gave his all into what he was doing. When he changed, he done a 180, and he changed, and he gave it all. He didn't turn back to where he was. But could you imagine if Paul was, if we had known him as Saul, and he'd imprisoned our families, or he'd beat us, or he'd done awful things to us, and then he's standing before you trying to preach? Paul couldn't make himself holy and acceptable, could he? It took the Spirit of God, and it took God doing that to make him where that he could be who he was. And even in all of our weaknesses and all of our doubts, God will still use us. Because He's the one that makes the unacceptable accepted. And He is the one that will not deny Himself. He's not going to deny Himself because we doubt. Because we don't have as much faith. We don't exercise our faith. He gives us the faith. We don't exercise it. That's our fault if we don't use the faith that's given to us. And we're like, well, I need more faith. I need more faith. How much more faith do we need? Christ said if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do the great things. You know. So how much faith do we need? We don't need more faith. What we need is to exercise it.
Yeah, right.
And that's overcoming the unbelief. That's overcoming the doubts. And what we need to do is look. And He also tells us that we need to put on as the elect of God. Mm-hmm. You know what that means? We need to stand up right to this world, and we need to act like the elect of God. This is our Father's world. He created it. And we are a part of His family, and we need to stand up and act like the elect of God. That means we need to stand against the evils of this world. We don't need to let our governments tell us how we need to live, act, hold our services. We need to stand up and say, no, we answer to God. Right. Now, God does tell us to answer to our government when they are in line with God. But we need to stand up and say that we are the elect of God because Christ will stand with us. He says that if we suffer with Him, that He'll reign, that we'll reign with Him. So that means, and also He will be with us. He sent His Spirit here for a reason. He told His apostles, when I leave, I'm going to send the Comforter. And that Comforter is still God. It's His Spirit within us. So we need to stand up and we need to say, you know what? No more. I am a child of God. This is His world. And these things are evil. And we have a lot of evil. And when we do stand up, a lot of times we're like, well, you know, I'm just standing alone. Mm-hmm. If you're a child of God, you're never alone. And I'm guilty of it. I'm really guilty. Before last year, I would have told you that the old Baptists were just few and far between. Sometimes that's the way we think of it, isn't it? Well, the Lord blessed me to be a part of something that showed me that the old Baptists are still strong and mighty in this country. I would not have believed that we would have had old Baptists helping a poor church down in Florida from every state in this union, in the 48 here. There was letters from all 48 states sent to them for help. And I would have never believed it if God would not have allowed me to be a part of that and see that.
Right.
And praise God, I have less doubts about it. Amen. Now, we do have churches spread out, and they are, some are smaller and some are larger, but it doesn't really matter about the size of the church. It matters about the faithfulness of the church.
Right. Amen.
I've been in churches that was filled to capacity and the people were there to see a band, or they were there to see a great eloquent speaker that they paid a lot of money to get him there. And then I've been in meetings with two or three people that was one of the glorious meetings that felt like we were sitting in heaven. And it's all about us. And it's like today. What did we come here today expecting? What was we looking for when we came? I come looking for God to do great things every time I come to church. I try to set my mind, and it's a lot easier when you get to ride 3 hours to think about it. But I try to set my mind that, you know what? What are you going to do greatly today, God? And you know what's great? He blessed His people from all walks of life to come together in one accord and sing praises to God. Sinners are singing unto a holy God. We're praising Him. And then He blesses a sinful man to be able to proclaim the truths of His gospel. Wow. And it makes it that much harder when I realize that I still have unbelief. When I know that much truth, it makes it that much harder on me. And it makes it that much sore to my heart that we have these. But what a Christ we serve.
Right.
What a brother that we have in Christ, a Savior. Because we start looking at poor, pitiful me. I'm this and I'm that. Christ left glory to come here to walk as one of us. He had to be a man. A man sinned against God. A man had to die to redeem us from sin. So Christ became a man. He was all God, but He was all man. And He walked where we walked. He had feelings like we feel. Sometimes we think of Christ, the man, and we think He's some, no doubt, He was more than just man because He was God, but He also had the feelings that we have. He also had hurt. He had hunger. Yes, he could get tired from walking. He could. He had the body of a man. It was not a superhero body. He was an almighty God inside of a man's body. Right. He had to humble Himself to be able to do that. And He done that for us. And I think of a God that would do that. No, He will never deny me. And no, He's not going to depend upon me to save one of His children. I can't save myself, much less anyone else. That's why Christ had to come to do the saving. So just remember that we are called to be the elect of God and to stand up and act like the elect. But even in our poor doubts that we have, Christ will not deny us. Whenever He returns and He calls, when He returns and He's there and you hear that trumpet sound, and I hope I'm alive to see that event. That's the next greatest event we're looking for as children of God, is the return of Christ. And we need not forget it. But when He returns and He calls His, everyone that He died for is going to Him.
Right.
It don't matter if they're in the ocean. It don't matter if they've been dead 2,000 years. They're all coming together and they're going to Him. And then He's taking them with Him to the Father.
Right.
So just remember, that's who we are and what we are and what we have to look forward to. Because we'll get bogged down in this world if we dwell on it too much without dwelling on what Christ has done for us. So just remember that. We serve a faithful God. Mm-hmm. Though we're unfaithful to God, He is faithful to us forever. Right. More. Because we are eternally bonded to Christ. Nothing can break that bond. When God placed us, the Father placed us in the Son, we were eternally bonded forevermore. And there's nothing in this world strong enough to break that bond.
Right.
Ever. So just remember those things and continue to pray for us and pray for these other brethren.